with you.
Uh-oh.
There it is. I think we're broadcasting. Hello, and hold on to your goggles, everybody. Listen, today, you know I always bring the most special guests. Leave no stone unturned, and the person with me today is no exception to that. In fact, she proves the rule. And Leslie Zemanek has joined us. We're going to talk about some empowerment stuff today, people. You know we are. We're going to talk about engaged audiences. We're going to talk about Leslie. We're going to talk about all of that. Welcome, Leslie. Welcome to the Epic Engagement Adventure.
Thank you for having me. I know it's going to be an adventure.
Always. Well, yes. Let's start this off. I thought you said something there. Let's start this off properly. Who are you? What do you do? Give us the business.
So I am, I call myself a life purpose guide. I have been helping people for 30 years bust through that thing that's keeping them from living their dream. And I do it like in minutes of meeting them, because I have this secret weapon. I don't know if I want to call it a weapon, secret tool, this special kind of unique thing that I do is I read their hands and fingerprints, which basically tells me how their brain is wired. So it's almost like I could just go crack, 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 and look inside and go, oh, well, I could see what's going on here. And it's amazing. It's kind of amazing.
That is super cool. What drew you to that? You didn't wake up when you were six and go, you know what? so what drew you to this type of work? How did you get there?
Actually, I don't know if I was six, but I wasn't much older than that, to be truthful. Because from the time I was a little kid, I would like read astrology books, and my mom let me have tarot cards. The whole deal. So I was always interested in like, what are the mysteries? And I knew that there was such a thing as palm reading, but what I do isn't that. It's not about prediction. It's not about telling the future. It's not about, because those to me, they're not empowering. What they are power giveaways, because you're giving somebody else the ability to tell you what your life is going to be. So I'm a big believer in free will. I'm a big believer that, you know, we have choices and we can create our own destiny. But when I was in my early 30s, I met this gentleman at a fair, at a festival, and he had this booth, and he's the creator of this system. And when he described it to me, I just had one of those moments, and I went, I need to know this. And I can tell you what, I have shiny object syndrome. I am one of those people who I wish I had nine lives like a cat, because I just want to do this and that and this and that and the other thing. But this is the one thing in my life that I know has been consistent and that I will never give up on, because it's so magical. It's so powerful. It's so immediate. It's just amazing. So, it just is what it is. It's crazy what it does.
Beautiful. I love it when people talk about that resonation moment when they met that person or they ran into that idea and time stops and mm-hmm. you have to know more.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was exactly like that.
Beautiful. You know, I think of when I was growing up and, you know, the pretty much, and it was a little while longer ago than you might think. And like the opportunities available, you know, to people, were pretty much kind of limited. I come from a small town in Iowa. You go to college or you don't ever leave town. I wanted to leave town. So, you know, I went to college, but like what I do today does not reflect anything. I mean, and I have plenty of degrees, by the way. But like what I do today almost cannot be described in those terms. And you as well. Beautiful. So you said you've been doing this for a very long time. You got some experience in this realm.
Yes. When I first learned it, we were told by the creator that we had to go out and read 100 sets of hands before we could charge money.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that pretty quickly. At this point in my life, I would say that I've looked at thousands and thousands and thousands of hands. And I'm always looking at people's hands. I mean, I don't look at people's hands when I'm standing there talking to them. I look in their eyes like I should, because I think that's an invasion of privacy if they don't give me permission. But, you know, online, you can go online and Google all these famous people and their pictures of them waving. And you just go, oh, my God, look at what they got in their hands. And I do that all the time. And it's really interesting. Really interesting.
So, what's your favorite thing about your work?
My favorite thing about my work is not even so much about the hands itself. It's about the people I work with. It's about that moment when I say something about them that they feel, I can tell by their body language, sometimes they even cry, that they feel seen. And sometimes for the first time, they just feel seen, they feel acknowledged, they feel validated. This is the thing that keeps me wanting to go back and keep doing it, because I was one of those kids who was kind of bullied. I was different and weird. And I was bullied, and I just kept to myself. I was really shy. And, you know, it's like it happens to people at different levels. But when somebody finally feels acknowledged and you tell them that, like that thing that they've been stuffing about themselves because they've been told it's bad or wrong or made fun of, then when you tell them that it's a gift and it's that thing that they have to share with the world, it's such a magical moment. It's so healing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You know, I mean, I was talking just a second ago about, you know, not knowing anything about where I wanted to go with my life when I was young and having so few things to pick from. It is such an important thing to help people know about the power of choice, you know, the power of being able to, first of all, figure out that you're not a square peg in a round hole. You know, that thing about being seen, making people feel seen, helping them feel seen, heard, and cared about is, I think, my primary purpose on the earth. I use weird technology stuff to do that. But that's absolutely where it is. And you get to be in the middle of that all the time.
Well, I could say I use weird technology stuff too, but mine's kind of like not like electronic technology, right? I have a weird way of doing it. But it works.
It works. It works. Yeah. Well, I used to have a computer science teacher that said, you know, glasses are technology too. You know, it doesn't look like it's an electronic device, but just simple glasses on your face, contact lenses. I've got those, or I'd be bumping into my microphone constantly. You know, that's technology too. And, no matter what tools you use, those tools are going to resonate with a certain amount of people.
Right.
So obviously you can totally do this. You can totally read people's stuff through Zoom. Am I correct?
Yes. Actually, I started reading long distance back in 2006 or 2007. Obviously we didn't have the video component of it back then, but I would send people a packet. They would print their hands for me, send it back to me. Now people scan it and just email it. But we used the mail back then, and we'd get on the phone. And so, you know, when we all went into lockdown and everybody had to like put their businesses online, I was so prepared. I'm like, hey, I'm there already. It was perfect.
Nice.
And I actually love having the video now, because I draw all over them and I show people exactly what to look for in their hands. Whereas before on the phone, I just used to have to describe it. And now I just draw, and then they can keep it the video and rewatch. And it's just so much fun because I love to draw too.
Nice. Yeah. I remember well the moment that, you know, I've been on Zoom since 2015. The moment that I realized that I hadn't had to explain to somebody how Zoom worked for a very long time, because it used to be before the pandemic, you had to go, okay, the share button's the green one in the middle. And like, you had to do all that.
Right.
Now everybody just knows.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, before that there was Skype. Remember Skype? I don't know
anybody
who uses that now, but I use that to some degree.
I used it when I went overseas. Mm-hmm. I was overseas for a semester, doing a semester abroad, and all my friends had my Skype handle. And so we used that all the time. That was right before Microsoft bought it and made some decisions that totally tanked that product, unfortunately. I think like people like programmers and stuff still use that stuff today, but most of us have just moved on, I think. Mm-hmm. Clearly your calling lights you up.
It does.
It's not easy for somebody to A, figure out what really does make themselves tick, and then B, devise a way to bring that to other people. It's probably been a long, strange, arduous business journey. I know it has been for me. Have you ever reached that point in your business where circumstances may have looked a little bit dire, but you kept going because you knew that yourself and what you bring to the world is more powerful than anything negative out there that could affect it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had to take a little bit of a sabbatical when part of my own personal life fell apart. But you know, coming back after that, I feel like, oh my God, not only did I like, you know, have to learn some stuff for me, but I learned all kinds of stuff now that I can bring to my clients by, you know, kind of fixing my own BS. It's like I went back to boot camp so that I could bring them the, you know, Leslie 2.0 version of wisdom.
That's beautiful. There's a lot of reasons why I love that, because so many entrepreneurs who could give so much to the world just end up closing their doors, for whatever reason, overwhelming negativity, not enough coming in, circumstances, whatever. And, you know, somebody who has been in business as long as you have, continuously. I mean, to me, that commands some respect, because the resilience that we all have to have, mm-hmm. It's pretty legendary when you think about being in business for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I started out as a side hustle. The full time has been probably more like 24. But that's still a long time. And, you know, there have been highs and lows. But I just could not bring myself to go back to working at something that wasn't meaningful to me, because I would feel like I had failed my clients by doing something I would never advise them to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I feel that. I feel it. Let's talk to me about a real high point that you've had in your career, a real point in which it was like everything, every Every load that I've carried is worth it. Everything really comes to this point. If you have moments like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would say that I, you know, to illustrate that, I have to tell my customer stories, because really their successes are my successes. I have a longtime client who, God, she was one of my early ones when I first hung my shingle. And she was a journalist, and so was her husband. And he had kind of a sexy beat, and she had kind of a not so well-respected one. So at home, he expected her to do more of the kid care and home stuff because he was off on his adventures around the world reporting. And she was in constant state of overwhelm and frustration. And eventually I said, you know, you're a journalist, write about it. And she ended up writing a New York Times bestseller about not having enough time to do everything. And then quit her work as a journalist and went on to, she heads nonprofit think tanks trying to get programs instituted through the government for families with two working parents. Wow. And, you know, she keeps telling me, you had something to do with it. It's like, no, it's all you. I don't want to take the credit for it. But I feel like she's a great success. And I have another more recent client who's a musician who was told all his life that he shouldn't brag, he shouldn't try to stand out. And I just said, looking at his hands, I just went, oh my God, you have so much juice and you came here to do, you know, all this good stuff. And I had to explain to him that by being a little more selfish and by owning his light and being willing to brag a little bit about himself, he would be in a better place to be in service in the world. And he said that it has created a seismic shift for him. And just hearing those words, I mean, that's like powerful stuff.
That is a powerful phrase.
He keeps using that phrase, and he's been telling everybody using that phrase. And I'm like, wow, that's great. I feel really what I said to him is like, why do you want, you don't want to leave this planet and regret that you didn't go for it.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. And I think a lot of people who have been taught to hide, you know, it's time to come out wherever you are, you know, like what they used to say in hide and seek. That's a pretty powerful story. Seismic shift. I'm going to have to remember that, Leslie, because that is some amazing, I love words that create an image immediately. And, and that one sure does.
It sure does.
With your audience or with your community, what is it that you do to engage them and kind of keep them engaged? You said you have some longtime clients. How do you keep people engaged in what you're doing and in what they're doing?
That's, you know, it's kind of hard to put words to it, to describe it. I think that the secret sauce is really getting people to understand that everyone has something unique to bring. And to me, when I'm helping people who are business people in particular, and some of my clients are, I really emphasize to them that they need to focus on what they bring to the table that nobody else does.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. People try to like fit themselves into a box or into a mold, but in order to really stand out, especially now in this day and age where we're all online, right? You know, it's like you see the same thing over and over and over and over a lot. You have to stand apart. So owning that piece of yourself that's unique, you know, I like to call myself the nonconformity fairy.
That's why I love you so much, Leslie.
I once was in a networking event, and I just came out, I don't know, just popped out of my mouth. It said, "You're weird as you're wonderful." And I think my clients as a whole tend to feel a little bit like misfits. I think those are the people who find their way to me, and they just love the idea that that's a gift. So I don't know if it's that I have any marketing advice about how to keep my clients engaged, other than to be yourself, your best self, that part mm-hmm. of yourself that is you and not someone else.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn some good things from following advice. It's like that, like when they tell you when you're making art, right? You have to learn the rules, then you get to break the rules. You know, and I think it's the same in business. You'll learn the rules, but then put some level of yourself into it and break the rules a little with what's your own secret sauce. And everybody's exactly. got something. I truly believe everybody's got something. I don't think there's a boring human being on the planet. Not deep down.
No. Well, and the pressure to conform, the pressure to fit into that box, it's so good to hear somebody saying, you know, it's the opposite. Stand out. You know, I tell people about, this is funny considering what you do, but I tell people, you know, you've got to leave your thumbprint on, you know, on the world. You've got to, you know, there is something about every single person. There is something that can be drawn out. I try to talk to people about that piece of special, you know, that corner of the earth that you own, because it's right inside you. That's what, if you bring that out, your people will come to you. It's absolutely. Not. Yeah. It's absolutely. Not about reaching the masses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
Absolutely. I can't tell you too, like I've had so many arguments with other entrepreneurs who try to say, no, I need to do everything for everybody. It's like, no, no, oh. no. You can be a generalist before you exhaust yourself. It's a recipe for burnout.
Burnout, and it's also a sure way to broke out, get broke, trying to do everything for everybody. I've done that, and it was not magnificent. No. I will say that.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
And then people treat you like you don't know what you're talking about. But when you present yourself as this, I am the expert in this field, I know what there is to know about this stuff, and what I don't know, I can find out. It's presenting yourself in a whole different way when you're trying to be everything to everyone, which at one time, when I first started my business, that's what I was doing. This was before the bots. It was exhausting, and in my bank account was barely surviving. So, holy moly! I know the answer.
One of the things about that too is that if you're trying to be everything to everybody, you don't do all of it that well, and people may be more likely to remember that one thing you didn't do as well than the thing you do really great. And why wouldn't you rather be known for the thing you did really great and not do that thing that you don't do that well, or don't even enjoy doing.
Yeah. It's right there. Holy moly. Well, do you have some way that people can get hold of you to, or, you know, sometimes people bring a little gift or even just your email. How can people contact you to learn more about what you're doing with people's hands and people's thumbprints?
I have a website at bravelyalive.com.
I'm bravelyalive.com.
Yes. That phrase came to me after my horrible escape from the difficult escape from my not so good marriage. Once I was done, I felt like, yes, it took a lot of courage, and I am bravely alive. That's where that name came from. I also have a link where people can get on a quick 15-minute call with me, no obligation, and it's bit.ly/15LZ chat, all capitals. And I have a really nice download that people can get on how to break through your blocks, which they can get when they go to my website. And it basically walks you through a little bit about learning about your own fingerprints and telling you, okay, now here's how you get on the right road. I call it on the pathway, on your correct pathway. And here's how to know if you've taken a wrong turn or headed the wrong way down the road.
Yeah. You said bit.ly/15LZ chat.
15LZ chat. Yes.
Perfect. Okay. I'm going to put that out to the people as well. Because I mean, if you want to know that if you're going down the right road, if you're doing what you were meant to do, if you should, like the musician that Leslie was talking about, if it's time to stand up and stand out, and be a little selfish for a change. Leslie's the person to call. So take advantage of it. We've got the website up there. And then we also have the 15-minute chat. Leslie, do you have any words of wisdom for all the coaches and the entrepreneurs that are listening out there?
Yes. I like to say you need to own your superpower. And I think people know what their superpowers are. And shout it from the rooftops. It is not selfish. It is not, it's not like the musician, it's not bragging. It's being of service. It's how you can tell people how you can be of service in the world. I think we're all here at some level to be in service to each other. You know, it's how the human race is going to survive, right? So I think that, you know, when you take care of yourself, you have more to give others. And I think, you know, it's about really filling yourself up first. And then you give everything else and you have more. So I love to spell selfish with a dash between the F and the I, self-ish. I think we all need a little dose of selfish.
Oh, we desperately do. Being a business owner, I definitely know that. And it's not about trying to sell something. It's about, hey, if you were standing on a boat and you saw someone drowning, would you not throw them a life preserver? Would you not throw them one of those life rings and go, hey, here you go. The people that you meet may uniquely need your talents.
Absolutely.
But if you don't throw them the life ring, they're never going to know.
No, they're never going to know.
Yeah.
They're never going to know.
Wow.
And if you don't take care of yourself, you can't help the next person. It's that whole thing on the airplane, right? That put your own mask on first.
picture.
It's exactly that.
It is exactly that. Well, thank you for being on here today with us. It's been a pleasure for me. I know it's a pleasure for our listeners as well. And remember those words of wisdom, everybody, because it can be a long road out there sometimes with entrepreneurship and everything else. But mm-hmm. when you finally are able to kind of stand up and stand out, things change. Things really do change.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just been a great conversation.
Well, every conversation with you is great, Leslie. I mean, come on. So very good. Well, my friends, we'll be back next week. Same bot time, same bot channel. And from now until then, take care of yourself. And then you can, you know, look around at everybody else and see if they need anything else. So that's it for now. We'll see you later.
Bye.